Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Getting your day started.
Go ahead.
With the morning shift.
Time for the show.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Big Z, Mark Zeno hanging out live from Flowery Branch. It's Atlanta Falcons training camp, which, honestly, the actual, Bo, you can kind of echo on this, the actual training camp portion, like, I'm not talking about preseason, I'm talking about the actual training camp portion, kind of winding down these days.
Yeah, I believe they might have broke already.
Might have broke camp already.
They normally kind of break it, like, after... It used to be
after the second preseason game.
Well, when it was four. You had four preseason games. But I think now that they have three, I think they do it maybe after midway through the first one. But, it honestly doesn't matter, because the reality situation is it's still a training camp style schedule right now for them.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. And we'll continue to obviously have all the audio. We're your eyes and ears out here at Flowery Branch for everything Atlanta Falcons. A lot of good conversation in the timeout a minute ago with some of the over-unders that Zeno was throwing out. So now you got a couple more in your back pocket you want to throw at us real quick before we get to this talk about the secondary.
Yeah, let's look at Drake London at 1,500 receiving yards, a number that has also gone up from 950.5. So, again, people starting to buy into the Falcons' offenses, at least odds makers are, is something that's going to be legitimate. Is he a 1,000-yard receiver? He better be.
Well, I think the question for me is this a team that will be built as far as the way they run the offense to have 2,000-yard receivers? Because, honestly – I think Pitts or London, one will be a 1,000-yard receiver, but I don't know if both would be, and that is what's, you know, because about it, if you have,
just do the math. Let's just for a second here, just if he's a 3,800-yard passer, right? He lands right on the
number.
But where are the other 2,800 yards going to?
But Bijan Robinson had almost 600 yards. I think he had 590 last year.
So we have 2,800 yards.
I would expect him to be. That was
let's give him 600. Now you got 2,200 yards passing left.
Well, let me tell you, sprinkle the ball other places.
Here's
too.
The X factor in this entire conversation.
Even when they had Julio and Roddy, they weren't going. Both of them weren't hitting 1,000 yards.
That's because they never stayed healthy.
Well, let's
not necessarily true.
let me peel back the curtain on this a little bit. I actually like both of them right at 1,000. I think Drake London's going to get 1,000 because the simple fact that I think the back shoulder throw that he'd be able to enjoy this year is something that Kirk Cousins can do, and they weren't doing that. But I also listen, guys. For all the fanfare, we've signed Charlie Warner. He's not Jonnu Smith in the passing game. So those yards are going to go somewhere.
Yeah,
well, Jonnu Smith was an animal in the passing game last year.
But you're forgetting Darnell Mooney is a legitimate number two option.
Right.
I think Kadarrell Hodge could have a bigger role in the offense. Then you look at Ray McCloud and what they might use him for. So I know that the receiving thing has been talked about. It's not a strength. And I'm not sitting here blowing smoke up it saying, oh, look at how strong they are. These guys could start it, be one options anywhere. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying these are all Darnell Mooney, Kadarrell Hodge, and Ray McCloud are all what? They're yak guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could propel you to
sure.
that you could get that without maybe Drake London being a 1,000-yard.
I would argue I would argue, and just real quick, Bijan's touchdowns prop is at 6.5. Drake's is at 6.5, and Kyle's at 4.5. Between the yardage and the touchdowns for each of those three guys, if at least four of the six of those don't go over, I still feel like generally something has gone horribly wrong. Those are really easy numbers to clear.
I would. If I was walking into Vegas right now, I'd take Kyle Pitts walking away.
Again,
just based off what
we've
seen in preseason.
Between those three guys, you're asking for 16, 17 touchdowns. Between
the four and a half for Kyle Pitts?
Four and a half.
Well, you know why it's 4.5? He's got six for his career.
For his career.
I know. 3 years.
Well,
now, you know why? How many was it for Drake? Six?
6.5, yeah.
His career career total is 6 touchdowns in 2 seasons.
But I would make the argument that Kyle Pitts is in a better spot right now to do more damage than he's ever been in.
Again,
go
look at T.J. Hockenson's numbers the last 2 years in Minnesota, and he didn't even play a full 16, 17 games. If Kyle Pitts stays healthy and the knee doesn't flare up, he should exceed both of those. And if he doesn't, we are now into the B-word territory, which is bust.
And I'm being a little bit sarcastic when I say this, but as a guy that did play tight end in the league, I know that you were an offensive
lineman. You don't have to be sarcastic. Go ahead and bring it home, man. What do you need to know?
Don't you think, though, that him and TJ are different type players when you get in the red zone?
I think just the way they're used in the offense. Remember, that Kevin O'Connell's offense is the same offense that came out of L.A., which is
what you're talking about, Bo, is in theory. Because, again, what are the numbers? Like, in theory, they're a different player, but the numbers tell us that, you know, that Kyle Pitts isn't what we think he is in theory or what he can be in theory. It still has to play out in front of us. And as much as we've seen cuts of Raheem Morris, you know, getting after Jesse Bates, and I love the clip that came out. He's yelling at Jesse Bates after the one-on-one with Kyle Pitts saying, hey, that Madden rating ain't gonna help you out here. You know, Kyle Pitts going off. We've seen Kyle Pitts move like 3 times better than I've seen Kyle Pitts move since the freaking combine. I mean, it's unbelievable the way he's been moving around, and I think he's exuding confidence out there because of who's throwing him the ball.
Yeah. No, I just to me, it's a question I think that the fan is probably looking at and saying, well, they're not the same player.
The touchdown thing is a little more volatile, right? There's a little more variance because, again, it's – you know, there's reasons why a guy may or may not get the ball in the red zone.
Yeah.
In theory, there should be certain specific plays drawn up for Kyle in the red zone because he is a mismatch more cases than not. That doesn't mean it happens that way.
I think that what's funny is when you think of Kyle Pitts' touchdowns, you think about red zone. You think about back shoulder throws, fade balls,
jump balls.
But here's the thing. But you think about jump balls. Here's what I am banking on this year in terms of Kyle Pitts. I am banking on the fact that the over-under is 4.5. I'm banking on the fact that four of those, he will actually run into the end zone.
Like,
I'm banking on the yak actually becoming a thing for him. He's a 4.4 speed, and we talk about jump balls. You know what I mean? That's what's the shame of Kyle Pitts right now.
If you get four touchdowns from Kyle Pitts running into the end zone in the regular season,
oh my God,
if you get four of those, you're 12-5.
We're happy.
You're 12-5. I don't know how you're not 12-5.
The 30-1 odds on Kirk Cousins' MVP race a minute ago we talked about, go ahead and pay me my money.
Guys,
if Kyle Pitts is running in the end zone for
you. Look, you know I work for a bunch of other networks and everything, and I was asked, you know, the kind of ceiling on the Falcons. In reality, and sit down for people who aren't, if the Eagles and Cowboys falter, which is a realistic possibility.
I completely agree.
The Falcons' ceiling is the 3 seed. Wrap your head around that for a minute because, look, they had Arthur Smith dragged below-average quarterback play to 7 wins. Kirk Cousins in and of itself should make that number 10. And I've said repeatedly, anything less than 10 wins for this team is a massive disappointment, and there's no excuse for it. This is a 10-win team right now as you stand here. The Eagles and Cowboys falter, there's a chance that goes to 11 or 12, and they are sitting in the 3 seed.
Okay. Now, I'm a big fan of this guy. I'm a huge fan of Zach Robinson. No, not you. I like you, but, you know, a huge fan.
I thought you were saying something nice about the Falcons. I thought I was going to get a compliment.
This is how you get books sent to you.
You made Bo blush.
But,
you made him blush over there.
But I'm a big fan of Zach Robinson, as I've taught. Now, the fact, though, is that I'm a big fan of what I know. You know what I don't know?
What Zach Robinson is as a play caller.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
And that's why for me, there's hesitation, and I'm tentative to say, well, the ceiling's a 3 seed, because I just don't know what his plan is. And look, it really doesn't matter that I know what his plan is, because it's not like I'm this football genius. I'm not Dave Archer that knows about the intricacies of these offenses. But what I will tell you is that he has got to find a way to keep these guys on the other side that are also football geniuses off balance, because you in the NFL, you don't go up there. You rarely go out there and normally just win man-to-man and have, you know, just average play calling like you can in college.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. The thing that scares me the most right now, and I don't want to say scared. You're not going to show all your cards in preseason. But we've watched a lot of practice, and we've seen, you know, what's going on as far as the run game goes. Zach Robinson, in my opinion, has walked in here, and he's done the right thing. He's looked at an offensive line that returns their entire two deep and their offensive line coach in Dwayne Ledford, and he said, you know what, D-Led, tell me what these guys can do as far as the running the ball, and let's
Dwayne Ledford,
do that.
Not Ledbetter.
Yeah, not Ledbetter.
Yeah.
He's looked at Dwayne Ledford and said, tell me what they can do, and let's do that. But he's also sprinkled in the duo and downhill gap scheme style plays that made them so good out in L.A. I don't know that an offensive line can do both, and from what I've seen so far, that's the extent of the run game. We have not seen pullers. We haven't seen Chris Lindstrom get on the edge. I thought we would see a little more power kind of sprinkled in, or at least one play where a guard is pulling. We didn't see that in the preseason game Friday night. I haven't seen much of it at practice, and I'll be curious to see what this run game actually is. It's been so good, right? The offensive line's ranked number two. It no matter who you talk to, it seems like they're a top 5-0 line. I just don't know what the run game is this year.
Well, I know that we're up against a break, so if you'll allow me, Aaron Rodgers talked about what you see in preseason yesterday. And maybe that'll make you feel better about what our run game is. We'll hear it in the huddle next. But that, to me, Mike, could really make you feel a lot better, because we've had this conversation multiple times. So that we'll get to what Aaron Rodgers thinks about preseason football and why Mike shouldn't be worried about what the Falcons are doing in the run game aspect from what he's seen so far. Next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's more than just sports talk. This is The Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Boy, I don't know what the future holds for Eli White. I do know what the future holds for the center field position. Michael Harris back in the fold tonight. But boy, Eli White comes up in the clutch. Mike Bowe and Zeno hanging out live in Flowery Branch for Atlanta Falcons training camp this hour, brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. And guys, we got all the way through the Braves segment an hour ago without even talking about the Philadelphia Phillies, because Bo, this race, it just seems like neither one of these teams for the last 2 weeks want to win the East. And the Mets have been surging, but so far right now, the Phillies and Braves, not great lately, although the Braves now two in a row.
Yeah, the whole NL East has been garbage lately. lost four of their last six is the Phillies. The Braves and the Mets have both lost three of their last 10. Or won three of their last 10, I should say. And then you look at the NL West, and the Dodgers 8-2 in their last 10, and the Diamondbacks and Padres 9-1 in their last 10. That's why the Braves find themselves four games out of the top two wild card spots, while only six games out of first place.
Isn't that crazy to
think about? Mark and I had a conversation 2 years ago, and we've known each other, and it was when the Braves.
Freaking Rain Man over here. Seriously,
I don't remember what I said 20 minutes ago.
Well, that's because you just never shut up. But the fact of the matter is when the Mets started off 2022 red hot. What?
If there was ever a pot called a kettle black, oh, my God. It's been said because you never shut up. Oh, my God.
But don't you realize that his rules don't apply to him?
I mean, I'm special. You didn't know that?
I couldn't hold that one in, dude. Sorry.
So when the Braves win the World Series and they start off 2022, Mark, if you remember, a little slow, and the Mets started off playing like a 700 pace. Mark and I think it was May or something. We went out for a few drinks and like dinner or something. And Zeno was doing what he always does. Everybody was just freaking out for no reason because the Mets are not going to keep this pace. They can't. And the Mets faltered down the stretch. The Braves won the division. Not saying the Phillies are going to do that, but Mark, to that point, the Phillies were winning at like a 640 clip. For the first until basically middle of July, and now they've come back to earth.
No, and look, remember the Yankees were like 60-20 at one point. You know, something insane. The regression in baseball is a thing, and it's real, and they are coming back to earth. Now the problem is, again, you get very few opportunities for a team like that that is playing that good of baseball. When they hit the skids, you've got to take advantage, and the Braves just haven't been able to do that. Yeah, I mean, again. That Marlins series for me is what really soured me on the whole thing.
I'm with you.
It's because it was one of those things where, you know, it's not even that they split. It was more of how they split. I would have rather them lost both games 9-8. At least the offense would have been back. At least I would have been able to build on something.
I'll say this, Zeno. You were up 2-0 in that series, right? If you could win that series or win the Rockies series after being up in that game 8-2, then I would feel like my feelings over the last 2 weeks would have completely changed.
Well, you're probably also 5 or 4 games out of first at that point.
Right, and that's the issue.
And you're maybe only 2 games out of the wild card as well.
Yeah.
You're not – neither one of you are wrong at all. That's why I was so disappointed after last weekend with that Rockies series where you were supposed to win that series and you didn't.
Yeah.
And then you come in here to San Francisco and – It's hard for me to say that I'm not pleased. I think you've won 2 games. To me, this is the best 2-game stretch that Braves have played all year. Why? Because they were gritty in them. They went to any extra innings, but they absolutely were games that they had to win, and to me, games that a playoff-caliber team should win, and they did.
I completely agree. Hey, let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close. Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the morning shift.
You know, Mike, you were talking about what we've seen so far in the preseason from the Falcons run game and at training camp, which everyone has seen what we have and we haven't seen. And Aaron Rodgers was talking yesterday, and he talked about what you see in the preseason doesn't really matter.
Preseason is not what it used to be. It's to see if young guys, once the lights go on and the pads go on and the tackling happens, if they can show up or if they don't. So what's there to gain? You know, just going out there and being back on the field in a situation where you could get hit. But the way we get after our defense today, after the next few days, a few times we go against them, I'm going to be worried about getting hit as well. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Preseason it's not real football.
You know, I think the interesting thing looking at that too, Bo, is, you know, we were always the kind of teams that I was on. We had, you know, 90% of the playbook installed week one, right? I mean, you kind of had your screen game in there. You had your run game. You had your pass pros, at least offensive line-wise, and most of your passing concepts. I have to think, and look, they've only added one game to the schedule, and it's now 17 instead of 16. But I have to think that in the NFL nowadays, particularly because of injury concerns and some of the things you don't have in preseason, I think you probably do more so than ever get in week 5, 6, and 7 and probably have more install, more game plan, more, you know, hey, this team's going to try to do this, or we're going to play a couple of teams week 11, 12, 13 that might run these style of defenses. Let's implement this play. I don't know. My concern that I tried to air a minute ago, and it's not really a concern. Look, man, like you said, we've only seen one preseason game. But as I look at it right now, I worry about mistaken identity for this team. You were so much one thing under Arthur Smith, all right? And now it does feel like offensively you are trying to marry two identities. I think that could be great. I'm not sold that it will be great, and I think that's my only concern. When we talk about offensive over and unders and Kirk Cousins passing yards and Bijan's rushing yards and 1,000-yard receivers, I think it's all great. All right, but you have to have a good cop, bad cop scenario, particularly when it comes to Vegas. And I think if things don't pan out in an elite way and Kirk's not hitting the over on passing yards and Bijan's not getting 1,000 on the ground, I think that's the one thing we will be coming back to week 13, 14, and 15 and saying, man, this idea of marrying these two things just never came to fruition. So,
well, marriage never works out well, but that's neither here nor there. So, when
again,
you say that in a room full of three guys that are happily married right now. So,
start reading that book, dude. Start reading that book right
I'll
now.
Not die alone. Yes, not, thank you.
Speaking of,
right on it.
Speaking of good cop, bad cop.
But to your point, Mike. I mean, again, you know, I don't think the expectations are a bad thing. I don't think the expectations for this franchise that finally, you know, hasn't had him since 2017, you know, are a bad thing. I feel like everything is in place to meet those expectations or exceed them. You know, again, unfortunately, a lot of this will come back to with a roster of this town, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, it's going to come back to coaching.
Yeah.
That's going to be the first finger point. Whether right, wrong, or indifferent, that's going to be the first finger point if things – and again –
Well, that's because that's why the coach is here, is because you thought you had team was good enough without but had bad coaching and no quarterback play.
Right. And so now that you seem to have fixed that, the identity should become pretty clear here, Mike. And you're obviously more adept at understanding how building identity during training camp matters, but you know, week one when they come out there and they got three tough tests to start this season.
Yeah.
And you know, believe it or not, I actually think the Eagles game is more winnable than the Steelers game. But that's just
well, that's just because you have a man crush on the OC for the Steelers.
I still do. He's my boy.
Yeah. Well,
never let that go.
You know what? Same problem, different year for
exactly
for Arthur Smith because he's got to find a quarterback.
What did the football gods do to that poor man? He went from Ryan Tannehill to Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, and now Justin Fields and Russell. What did he do wrong?
Well, you know what? Some of that was self-inflicted.
I was going to say, we can't just look past the fact that he had a pretty good quarterback in year one in Atlanta and was probably in on that decision to part with
that. There's no doubt he wasn't in on that.
I can't pull him out of that conversation.
All right, real quick, Browns rookie defensive tackle Mike Hall Jr., who was the 54th overall pick in the second round, was arrested for some pretty – rough stuff. I don't want to get into all of it, but basically domestic violence. And you know what the interesting thing was is, Mike, you and I, when we did some draft talk all year, he was a guy once we entered the second round that you and I had both on our short list of guys that they could take because of a need for a position. And apparently there was a known thing out there that he had a troubled past, and this is not a far cry from who he is.
I distinctly remember you and I doing that Saturday show and talking about how he tumbled just a little bit. It was like, man, that's a great value pick before they get Mike Hall. And, you know, listen, this is why NFL teams go so in-depth in terms of what they're being asked to do, right? I mean, you look into these backgrounds so that these kind of things don't pop up after you get into training camp.
And then real quick, rookies quarterback J.J. McCarthy, looks like he's having meniscus surgery.
Had two of them.
You know, how long do you think he'll be out, Mark? And how does that affect the win total of the Vikings?
3 to 6 weeks. I mean, you know, he probably wasn't slated to start anyway. I think Sam Darnold was still the guy.
Maybe, but he did have a good first preseason appearance.
He did. But, yeah, again, I mean, you know, you still got 3 weeks of the regular season. It's not a terribly, you know, hard injury to come back from. I mean, you're walking out of surgery yourself that day. So it's –
You know what's funny? The minute I see this, though, and you guys will kind of chuckle, I have to think that Minnesota Vikings fans saw this and go, here we go. Because the quarterback position, an absolute turnstile, where they 4 starters last year, So now you're looking right back at Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. Well, where's Joshua Dobbs? Is he available on the trade market?
Whatever happens when we play them this year, can it not be a guy starting for the first time that just joined the team on Thursday?
That would be great. All right, look, when we come back, we're going to jump into which
How not
one
to die
Wednesday.
Alone? Oh,
Mark Zeno is going to be introduced to which one Wednesday. And here's I'll tease this on the way to the break. How about this one? Which one is more, Auburn losses or Florida wins? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Gonna
which
fit,
one
you're gonna
Wednesday? Fit, Sports Radio 97.
What are the haps? Start the day the right way with the morning shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Mic'd Up with Mike Johnson. Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Live from Flowery Branch. It's morning shift. Mike, Bo, and Big Z, Mark Zeno hanging out. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Lasting Clean. Now, Zeno, I like to do this thing on Wednesday called Which One Wednesday, and it's pretty simple.
Okay.
Right? We're going to throw it out there. I'm going to make you guys make a decision. All right. You're going to debate style this thing with Squid Billy, and Dylan is going to tell you who won the debate.
And just so you know, Mark, I'm the reigning, defending, undisputed champion.
I will say he did win last week.
I have an overall
winning
record.
A little bit of a soft victory.
Oh, was it a soft victory? Dylan,
who did you face off with last week?
Allie Mack.
Yeah,
and Dylan. Dylan finally decided to. I think Dylan was being nice and kind of favoring guests, but I know that no one ever favors Zeno in anything. So I'm sure that this should be.
Now I'm going up against you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, debate style. All right,
mono
we're ready to go.
Mono.
Ready to go.
Okay.
All right. How about
whatever
this one?
Say.
Pick one. All right, which one? More touchdowns this year, Tyler Allgeier or Kyle Pitts? Which one? More touchdowns this year, Tyler Allgeier or Kyle Pitts? But we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with Kyle Pitts. And look, it's simple. Bijan's going to get some of those carries that Allgeier maybe would have gotten in year one. And also, this is Kyle Pitts' year. I am more certain than ever Kyle Pitts is about to go off this season after our interview with him on Monday that we had.
What do you think about Zeno? Tyler Allgeier or Kyle Pitts, more touchdowns this year?
If Tyler Allgeier has more touchdowns than Kyle Pitts, again, something's gone horribly wrong, okay? This is an easily scripted offense to predict this year. If things don't go as predicted, as expected, things have gone horribly wrong for a variety of reasons that we're not going to be very happy about. Kyle Pitts, as Bo said, again, playing for like a contract, like his second contract and what the value of that is at this point in time. And part of me is starting to think that maybe the last 2 years, you know, he did one of those, my knee isn't good enough to get back because I don't really feel like catching passes from Desmond Ridder. I think he'll be healthy for all 17 games this year. You know, God willing, then he'll be healthy, and the numbers are going to back that up.
All right. How about this one? Question number two. More important to the Braves down the stretch. More important to the Braves down the stretch. Jorge Soler or Michael Harris? Jorge Soler or Michael Harris? Zeno, we'll start with you.
I mean, it's got it. It's Harris. I mean, offensively, defensively, with the speed on the bases, he can do so much more for this team at his ceiling, at his optimal, than Jorge Soler can do. You know what Jorge Soler can do? Hit a ball 480 feet. That's probably about it. It's all really you can expect.
Well, I think Zeno's onto something with Michael Harris. I agree with him. And here's the thing. Not only can you put Michael Harris down late in the lineup, maybe that 8 or 9 spot, so you can – kind of get that going again. That gives Jorge Soler someone to hit the ball 400 feet with on the base. So those solo home runs will turn into two-run homers. But also that this defense is so terribly bad offense right now out there in the outfield. I know that Eli White made the catch last night, but they've been butchers in the outfield.
They've been absolutely
right now. One of you know you insert Michael Harris in there, and he immediately takes over, and now you are solid from not only right center, but all the way over to left center, Michael Harris.
All right. Question number three. Better town, Long Island, New York, or Dallas, Georgia?
Oh my God, dear Lord. Let's just end this sentence. Just all end right. the debate. Just
Long Island, New York.
It's not even close.
Okay.
No,
oh
you don't have to
God.
Hear.
I'm going to have to drive around Dallas after I go through this whole thing, just because I might get shot going through it.
You
after
know what?
I'm going to eviscerate your small little hick town.
This right here is why Dallas, Georgia is better than Long Island. You don't
oh
deal
my
with this.
God.
The cynicism that these people live with, they're always angry about everything. They talk with these weird accents. Not to mention, Dallas, Georgia is the four-wheel drive capital of the world.
I know. That's exactly. Okay. Let's just put this objectively here, Mike. Long Island. Ready? Beach. Bagels. Pizza. I mean, you have none
Beach,
of that.
Bagels and babes, the three C's,
right.
baby.
Dude, we got cows and steaks, baby.
That's great.
We got pigs and bacon. All right,
we have steaks
we
too.
Have less,
they're in a grocery
you
store.
Know
talk about squiggy like that, okay?
You know what?
Squiggy.
I'm sorry that we don't have a bunch of mobsters running around whacking people and you know.
Hey,
eating
that
meatballs.
Keeps things right. Okay,
all right?
We don't need a police force. We got the mob.
Oh yeah, that makes everything better.
I was hoping when I asked that question, that's the exact reaction I was looking for. All right, got to move on. More Auburn losses this year or Florida wins? I think the Auburn win total is right at 9.5. I think Florida's win total is at 4.5. More Auburn losses or Florida wins this year? What do you think?
I'm going to say Florida wins. They'll get 5 wins, and they'll all come before November.
5-0 turn to 5-7. Is that what we're looking for?
Okay. Right. You know, I think it is going to be Florida wins. I mean, look, Auburn still has to play Oklahoma, Georgia, Missouri, Texas A&M, and Alabama. I mean, that alone is a tight window to get through. You drop another game there, you're 6-6. Still going to a bowl. But guess what? It's not going to be easy. And three of those games, Georgia, Missouri, and Alabama are all on the road.
Yeah. There you go. All right, let's move on. Question number 5. More rushing yards this season in the NFL. More rushing yards. Anthony Richardson or Lamar Jackson? Anthony Richardson or Lamar Jackson? Zeno, we'll start with you.
I'm not going to bet against Lamar on this spot. He just too much. I mean, at some point in time, you know, the difference is for Anthony Richardson is that you're going to have to try to find some other way to move the offense. You can't do it all with your legs. Lamar, a lot of his running yards come from the fact that he's thrown enough.
Slim down this year.
Well, that too. But he's good enough in the passing game to be able to keep guys at bay longer, to be able to make things develop for him. Anthony Richardson will do more of the drop back, you know, 5-7 step. It's not there. I'm taking off and running. And that's not really an effective way to really manage the offense long term.
What do you think, Bob?
Well,
rushing yards.
You know, I was going to go one way on this, and then I did a double check. You know, Lamar still almost ran for 1,000 yards last year.
He's elite with his legs.
In a passer-heavy, more passer-heavy offense. It's Lamar Jackson, but it's none of the reasons that Zeno said, which I'm not saying he's wrong, because I think he's right. I don't think Anthony Richardson can stay healthy for 17 games to outrun him because I've never seen him stay healthy ever.
That's your boy.
Just because he wore blue and orange, don't make us boys.
Oh.
But I will.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I don't have any issues with Anthony Richardson. I'm going to tell you that. But the problem is I've never seen what everyone else sees in him. I've seen the athletic ability, but he's never actually accomplished it.
All right, let's get a couple more real quick. Would you rather go on vacation to Myrtle Beach or Panama City? Bo, we'll start with you. Myrtle Beach or Panama City?
You know what? Panama City, because I'll just be at home. I can be as white trash as I want. Myrtle Beach seems like they think they're better than they are.
I don't know when's the last time you've been to Myrtle Beach.
Plus Angelo's in Panama City. I can go get me a good steak.
Zeno, Myrtle Beach or Panama City? Which one's a better place?
At this stage of my life, Myrtle Beach.
Yes. All right, how about
that's
this?
Better golf. Put it that way there, little man.
Yeah, I go on vacation to get away from everything.
Oh, okay.
We'll finish with this one. If you were playing a playoff game tomorrow, who's catching for you, Sean Murphy or Travis d'Arnaud?
Little D all the way.
Little D all the way. What do you think, Zach?
I don't know anything about Little D. I'll pick Travis d'Arnaud.
Dylan.
I don't know. You did get a book
Dylan,
sent to you.
Dylan, who won the debate?
I'm going to have to go with this. It was a very close one. Both competitors played well, debated well, but just like the Atlanta Braves, Bo Morgan is on a 2-game winning streak.
Oh, whoa!
Still the
I gotta tell you something.
I wanted to give it to you, Zeno. I wanted to.
Disputed.
You know, my last line should have been the clincher to get me to win that thing.
It almost was, too.
I did not see that one coming. It got you close.
No, man. You've been awful nice to Dylan lately.
I mean, you were as bad as the umpire in the Braves game last night.
Yeah, that's Dylan. That's I didn't see that one.
Don't you ever compare my producer to CB Buckner?
Yeah, right. you're Laz Diaz, CB Buckner, and Angel Hernandez all wrapped in a one.
You know what? Do not talk to him that way.
We got to go to break, man. Morning Shift is rolling on. We got Wake Up Call coming up after the break. 404-726-0929.
You're not awake already.
Or you can right. Or you can get us on the X at 929 Morning Shift if you want to weigh in. Hit us up on the other side. It's the Morning Shift rolling on from Flowery Branch Sports Radio 929.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.